The following show is for entertainment purposes only. It is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meetings, a small child is awoken in the night and vividly recounts scene from a concentration camp with his other mother. Could a dream about new babies be a premonition of the future? How can crying in dreams help balance our real-life emotions? And what good comes from being attacked by raptors in a tunnel? Those dreams and more we will discuss on today's episode of Dream Meanings. The phone number here at Dream Meanings is 1-800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193, or you can also write in your dream story to us, and we'll read it back on a future episode of the show. You can do that at dreamingradio.com, D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, radio.com. That is the website for our program. You can also listen to our program at Dreaming Radio as well, dreamingradio.com as well, and press subscribe, and then link out to iTunes, to Spotify, to Stitcher, some of the more popular podcast platforms where you can then subscribe to the show and get it sent directly to your devices. So there you go. Excited about today's episode. I got a lot of interesting dreams here, including one that when I scanned them, I said to myself, oh my God, I have this one a lot. And I'm thinking probably a lot of us do. It involves numbers. It involves pressing numbers on devices. Yeah. You ever have that? I'm excited about talking about that and what it may mean. So that's coming up here on the program today. Let's go into our first letter. It comes into us from Vanessa, and Vanessa says, I was standing in a darkened room with another individual. I couldn't make out any details of the other individual or the room, but I noticed we were both holding a baby girl. I knew they were girls because they were wrapped in pink fluffy blankets. We couldn't see their faces, only the top of their full heads of hair. The dream lasted for only a minute, it seemed like. My older sister was pregnant at the time with twins. I told everyone in my family about the dream because I couldn't keep this to myself. About a month later, my sister had her ultrasound scheduled to verify the sex of the twins. I went along with her because just had a feeling my dream was going to come true. Well, it sure did. The big screen showed two healthy baby girls. This isn't my first dream I've had that has come true. I still have them to this day. Could these dreams be premonitions? Could they be visions? What exactly could you call them? I would call them excitement. I would call them the anxiousness of patiently waiting to find out the answer to what's going to be entering into your life. Now, it's hard to say it's a premonition when you really only have the options for the most part here of either A or B, girl or boy. And I would say probably whatever you're hoping for more. And statistically, I'm just basing this statistically because I don't know what your hopes would be. It would point that a sister of someone who is pregnant is likely, more likely, and I don't know why this is the stat, but it is a stat, to be hoping for a girl to be born. Now, the twins, that's interesting. That could be somewhat of a premonition. There's just so many things that are going on at that moment in time with the excitement and the contemplating of possibilities of what if this, what if that. You may have just hit the jackpot on maybe it's twins. Maybe it's twin girls. Because we were twins, or we weren't twins, we were sisters growing up, and they could be sisters. And it's kind of the mind hoping to replay or hoping to, you know, to project onto this next generation positivity, an experience that you had with your sister growing up. Now, obviously, maybe not twins, but just the sisterhood. And that may have just been a lot of that in your mind, getting really excited and hoping that this experience is about to begin again for some brand new people on this earth. I think that might have been what was going on here. A lot more than the possibility of premonition. Now, could it go down that road? Sure, you certainly could. It's just your options on choices here get a little more limited than premonition of something that you already don't know about that has endless possibilities. Then I would go, and if something happened, like, then I dreamt that I was driving down the road and We came around this corner of road that I'd never been on before. And in my dream, there was this red car and it swerved in front of us and we hit it and then we died. And then you're going down the road in real life, this road you recognize from your dream that you've never been on. The red car comes, it swerves, but you know what's going to happen. So you get out of the way and you live. That to me is more evidence of a premonition than boy or girl. Is it going to be twins? Is it not going to be twins? For detail's sake, a little more evidence of it possibly being a premonition. Do I think that they can exist? Yes, I do. But I don't know, and I hesitate to say that this was a premonition. I think maybe the wishful thinking that came true. I don't want to run in your parade, but that's what I think it might be. So thank you for sharing that, and congratulations to your sister on having some kids, having some twins. I hope it all went well. Our phone number here, 1-800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193, to share your dream with us. And let's go to our next letter. Jessica writes in through our website, which is dreammeanings.com. This event is one of the weirdest things I've had happen. My youngest son is 7 now, but at the time this occurred, he was 5. There was nothing unusual about the night this happened. It was just a normal night. I've always been able to remember most of my dreams. Usually when I wake up in the morning, I can remember at least 3 or 4 of the dreams I've had. This night was similar to that. I'd been in the middle of my second dream. I was driving a red car with a few of my family members in it, and we were talking about a trip we were on. Suddenly, the dream changed. When I say suddenly, I mean I was mid-conversation with my cousin AJ when the scene around me changed and I saw my youngest son's face. He was crying uncontrollably, so I went to him and held him close. In the dream, he said, "Mom, it was awful. They were all dead." I woke up and immediately went to check on him. He was in the middle of a nightmare and crying in his sleep. I woke him up and pulled him into my arms. He looked up at me and said, "Mom, it was awful. They were all dead." He then proceeded to tell me that his other mother and him had been locked in a dark place with a bunch of skeletons, or skelly bone people. That's his word for skeleton. And everyone was really hungry. He told me that he was a skelly bone too, so was his other mother. He said he was really hungry, and his mom kept telling him not to cry, or the bad men would get them. He then said the bad man found them and hurt his mom and hit him in the head. I didn't know what to think. I just held him and told him it was just a dream. What freaked me out was a few days later, he saw the Star of David when we were getting Christmas supplies, and he pointed to it and said, "Look, Mom, that's what the bad men made us wear." It was near Christmas at the time, and nothing out of the ordinary had been going on. My son hasn't said anything about the dream since this happened. Is it possible that I somehow knew he was having a nightmare, and that's what interrupted my dream? Or maybe he reached out to me in his dream. Could his dream have been a past life thing, or is this all just a weird coincidence? I would say on this dream, this is far beyond a coincidence. There's several things going on here, and I don't think that they're necessarily explainable by imagery in the dreams. Number one, you had a dream. He said a very distinct thing to you in that dream. And then you went over to him in real life upon waking up, and he said the exact same thing. Now, undoubtedly, there is a connection between mothers and children. That's well documented. To explain it, that's a whole other thing. How do we have these connections? How do we know they exist or prove they exist? It's more so knowing just by stories like this and the intuition that many of you mothers have, just knowing that it is there and sensing these things when there's no way you could explainably or telepathically know something that your child is thinking or experiencing when not right next to them. So undoubtedly, there was some sort of either motherly instinct or something going on there that drew you to your child. The experience he had in the dream, talking about the other mother, talking about the horrific conditions he was in, obviously, we're talking about what would be a concentration camp here. Now, my only question would be, was he ever exposed to any television, any movies, anything of the sort that would have put any of this into his mind? I'm going to guess your answer is no. And if that is the case, then this is truly an experience and a dream that I have no explanation for. I have no meaning for. Other than it's evidence in one of those stories where we have to point at and go, is this evidence of a former life that he once led? Some will believe that. The other possibility that you can look at this, and this is something that I really didn't consider much until I did more of the other show, the Ghost Podcast at Real Ghost Stories Online, where we've had similar stories to this, would be where was it essentially a spirit, a ghost of some sort that was trying to get a message through your son to you? Meaning, was it not necessarily your son having a past life, but somebody or some entity on that other side trying to convey an experience to your son through him? That's another interesting thing to consider. And if you go, oh, this all just sounds kind of crazy. Well, yeah, well, the experience number one was crazy. The reality of the experience here was crazy. So you have to, you know, I think when you're going to consider this stuff, look at all possibilities and theories that exist out there when it comes to the world of the paranormal. And I would certainly put this in the category of something paranormal happened there. What was it exactly? We'll never know. But those are some things to think about with that experience that you had. Thank you for sharing that with us. And having the courage to share that with us. I know a lot of folks should be going, oh, this is too weird. No, we're totally open to hearing any type of dream on this show. Explainable, not explainable, regular, not regular, whatever you want to call it. Write them in. Share them. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about possibilities. I'll let you be the ultimate judge. Just give some insight and thoughts on those experiences. The phone number to do that is 1-800-606-7193. Or, of course, you can write in your story, like she just did, through our website, which is dreamingradio.com, D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, radio.com. Thinking back, you know, I have to say, when my youngest was very young, I'd say she was about 1.5, almost 2, right around that area, certainly nowhere near the detail of what you just described in that letter, but certainly bizarre. She, one day, we were just brushing her teeth and puts the toothbrush down and goes, "Daddy, the fireball." And I had no idea what she was referring to. I wasn't showing her videos of fireballs or any sort of movies or anything where she would have seen this sort of thing. And I did, you know, very much watch, you know, what she was consuming in terms of entertainment and media. And I said, "What are you talking about, honey?" It was almost just like something was passing by her or something was just coming to her. She just wanted to share at such an odd moment. The fireball, I my spaceship. And this was the first I'd heard her talk about spaceships. The spaceship, the fireball, I died in the fireball, Daddy. My spaceship crashed. The fireball, it blew up the spaceship and I died. And then she just goes back to brushing her teeth. I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know what to think of it. I didn't say, "Oh, that's crazy. Stop talking. Don't say those things." I asked her more, and she, you know, she's 1.5, 2 at the time, and she didn't really have a whole lot more to elaborate on other than she just wanted me to know that that happened. And that was it. She, from that point forward, it seems after making that realization, has had a very large aversion to anything fire-related. Candles, specifically, because we don't really obviously have a fire in our house or anything. Candles may be the worst of it. Very rarely do we have a fire going in the fireplace. But she's always like, can I blow this out? Can we get rid of this fire? Very much hates fire. It's just one of those things you think about and go, what was that all about? It happens. And as a parent, when you have those things happen, you don't know how to explain it. I think one of the things we need to do sometimes is maybe worry about not explaining it or trying to figure out the explanation, just hearing it out and somewhat accepting that there's something else out there. Thanks for sharing again that story with it. Thought I would share my end of that as a parent. Brenda writes into us, hi, Tony. I have a reoccurring dream every couple of months. In my dream, there's some kind of emergency and I must call for help. I have my phone in my hand. I'm trying to call 911, but I keep pressing the wrong numbers. I know the numbers I need to dial and even say them out loud as I'm dialing, but for some reason, my fingers just can't connect with the correct numbers. I keep trying to get more and more frustrated and never do dial the correct number. Nothing significant was going on in my life when I have these dreams, as far as I'm aware. I keep guessing it's an anxiety dream, but I can't connect it to anything that would worry me. Interested in hearing your thoughts. Well, here is what you need to think about when you are having that dream. I have it quite often myself. When you're dreaming that you can't get that number to dial correctly, what it typically means is difficulty getting through to someone in your real life, in your waking life. So, one of the things, you know, this may be an obvious one where you go, oh, I know exactly who that is. And sometimes we have perpetual people who are always difficult to get through to or to have them understand our side of the story. But if you can take a look at the number you're trying to dial, and sometimes it's just 911. Other times the number that you're trying to dial may point to who you're having the difficulty with, if you even remember their number. That's the issue with this dream is 10, 20 years ago, that little piece of evidence it could sometimes help us figure out who we're thinking about here. But now no one remembers their phone numbers. We just press their name. I couldn't honestly tell you what, several, close people to me, what their numbers even are. I have to look them up on my phone. So that may not always be the case. I wonder if there's a version of this now where it is a cell phone and you're pressing just the name and that you're hitting the wrong name. I've never had that. I still go back to the numeric version of this. Sometimes that means that the person you're trying to get through is not taking the advice that you're giving or listening to what you have to say on a topic or an issue. So the message is basically not going through to them. That's typically what that means. I feel that way quite a bit. But, I think half of the problem with me is I have so many things in my mind on how I see them, and I'm not the greatest at always conveying them to others, because I think so many times I assume that others are already thinking the way I do, which is never the case, and that's never the case for any of us. You know, it's very rare that you have someone who thinks the exact same way you do. I get this frustration quite often. So it's a messy dream to have. Thank you for sharing that with us here on the show. Let's go to our next letter. Owen writes in, I used to have a repeating dream either since I can remember up until I was about 12 years old. They were about baby Einstein puppets, specifically monkeys. They'd hide in my closet and would suck me into my closet. I tried to scream for help, but they drained my voice and weird xylophone music would play. One of my most vivid dreams involving them happened when I was around 8 years old. Most of my dreams were nightmares around this time, and I knew I was in a nightmare, so I had lucid nightmares. I woke up in my dream, but was in my room, had an evil atmosphere. I ran into my brother's room, but it was a massive bed that could hold like 100 people and was cold metal. I hid in it, and many random people were in it. I hid as the monkeys exited my room and into the other room. They seemed really mad because I left the room and walking right up to me, and once they reached me, I saw a yellow warning sign, and I woke up. Weird but terrifying dreams happening again and again, I can remember almost everyone. I was starting to feel unaccepted when I was having these dreams. I have ADHD, and around this time, other kids were maturing as I stayed behind. What could all of this mean? Well, you very interestingly, in your explanation of what was going on at the time, really do lay out in correlation to what monkeys typically mean, what was going on in your life. Feeling unaccepted, having ADHD, and around that time, other kids maturing, and you feeling as if you're not at that moment in time. Monkeys, typically in dreams, this is interesting, can indicate basically an immature attitude, you know, a more playful side, a younger side, a more mischievous side of a personality. You know, obviously, that's what, you know, kids have. You know, and younger kids have. And if you felt the others were maturing and you were still kind of more that playful, mischievous child, that's where that would come into play. Being attacked by monkeys indicates the conflict between the two, between the serious side of you that was, you know, slowly starting to develop on your own terms, and the more playful, younger, immature side. So the monkeys make total sense for what was going on in your life at the time. The fact that they were, you know, a baby Einstein product, it was really probably just your mind assigning, this is what I know monkeys as, because that was probably what you saw as a child. So there you go. Little insight there into the meaning of monkeys and dreams, and it does make total sense for what was going on in your life at that point in time. Thank you for writing in and sharing that dream with us. The phone number to share yours is 1-800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193. Our website where you can share your dream and write it in is dreamingradio.com. Keep in mind, for us to do the show, we need to hear your dreams. Without you guys sharing them, we have no show. So please do, if you've been thinking about it, please do write in or call in. We would love to keep the show going on a weekly basis and keep making it for you. But that can only happen with you guys sharing those experiences and those dreams with us. Next letter comes into us from Jackie. Jackie said, I had this dream since I was a child. Started around 8 or 9 years old. Starts off dark. I can tell I'm in a dark tunnel surrounded by cars that are completely stopped, with the drivers and pedestrians running. I'm confused at first, but then feel a deep fear, and I start running. I keep running, and I get the urge to look behind me. I see people being tackled to the ground by raptors. The raptors' claws digging into everyone's back, ripping the flesh and starting to devour them. I turn back around and keep running, getting the feeling that when I reach the end of the tunnel, that everything will be okay, that I'd be safe, but I never reach it. Right at the edge of the tunnel, I feel the raptor's claw dig into my flesh on my back and then going in for the kill. Then I wake up. Same dream occurred every year till I was 23. I'm now 25. Last time I had that dream, it changed. I actually reached the end of the tunnel and stepped into the light, but even then the raptors kept attacking everyone, but my body was calm. Although I knew it wasn't safe, it ended with a raptor attacking me. I was lying on the ground, bleeding, slowly dying. Before dying, I woke up. After that, I never had it again. So, when it first started, I loved dinosaurs. I went to school at the time. My family and school life was good, nothing out of the ordinary. Getting older, though, there were marital problems in my household. My siblings started to be their own person, and we drifted apart. We weren't as close as before. My best friend moved away, and I became very shy. I was very quiet and shy through my middle and high school life. Then college started, and I became more outgoing and preppy, I guess you could say. My family life settled around 20. My relationship with my siblings has become much better. I finally got my first boyfriend at 22. Not serious at first, but it turned into a serious relationship. We've been together for 5 years now. So why am I in a tunnel? Do the raptors symbolize something important? Why do I feel that the light is a safe place to be? Why is my body calm when I know it's not safe? What does a whole dream mean as a whole? Was it just something that came about from loving dinosaurs? Very cinematic dream that you had there. Let me try and break it down what I think of it anyway. this is obviously a transitional dream, and it was happening for a good period of time. Obviously, it sounds like a time where things were kind of out of whack, where there was a lot of chaos going on in your life and within your family. The tunnel basically is representing, and specifically having the light at the end of the tunnel that you're trying to get to, is trying to get through it, trying to escape where you're at, and being young, being at home, being not an adult yet. I mean, obviously, you know, part of this dream, you did start to get there, and that's where the light comes into play. You're slowly trying to emerge out of this thing. But when it started, obviously, you were more so, the confines of the tunnel were there. You were in it. You were trying to get out, being chased by the Velociraptor. And believe it or not, there actually is a meeting to a raptor in a dream. And it's really kind of harkens to feeling guilty of basically, or dwelling about your past, or an opportunity in your past that you weren't able to necessarily solve or fix or come to grips with, which may have just been the relationships, things that in real life were beyond your control. But that's something that a lot of us will dwell on. And that's normal. Is it something we should be doing? No, but it's what we do. So I'm thinking that that's really what the raptors were. It was representing a lot of the chaos in your life and being afraid that it was going to basically take you down, which is what they were doing in the dream. And you were trying to get to the other side. And once you did reach the other side of that tunnel and you did see they were still out there, you were calm. What does that mean? Means you made it to the other side of the tunnel. Means you got out to adulthood. You got out to your life. And you also realized that, you know, the other side of the tunnel, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's still green, still light. It's calmer. It's better than where you were at. But there's still going to be chaos out there. And if you're not careful, they could still take you down. May not be for the same reasons or the same things that you were moving on from in your life, but you realize that adult life and living in the real world is still a very tricky place, and the raptors are still out there. But you're calm and more in control of your life, and not necessarily being chased down the way you were before you got there. I think that's a lot of what that dream symbolizes and means. Thanks for writing in and sharing that with us here on the podcast. Victorine writes in, "Hi, Tony. Really enjoy everything you do. Adding a sanctuary for those who do not understand their dreams is just fantastic. I wrote into the Ghost Podcast answering one of your questions about a doctor ending up recommending a priest being a cultural thing, but I'll let you read that on there. To get to my dream, I usually do not remember my dreams, and when I do, it's usually that something is about to happen, good or bad. I'll share one happy one and one not so happy, starting with the happy one. My mother is really sensitive, and it's something that runs through the family. In Cameroon, we still believe in the power of nature and in family. I guess we have gifts from healing, protection, ridiculous luck, and us being able to bring good fortune to others. But enough of bragging. My mother named me after elder sister Victorine. That sister of hers was really respected, and she could see people in their true form. She was not scared to expose the bad guys, and apparently that's what brought the end of her. My mother used to tell me the story of her coming into her dream way before she knew the gender, when she was pregnant of me, and handing her a baby, saying, 'This is the baby girl you've always wanted.' So hearing that story from Mom made me excited to one day meet her and see how she looked. So one night, she came to me in a dream. She was dressed in all white with a dress maybe from the 80s. She joined me in a restaurant and we ate chocolates. She told me how much she loved chocolates. She looked beautiful. It was really brief, but I felt like I enjoyed every bit of it. She was a part of me and I was so happy and grateful she came to see me. I told my mom the story, giving her the description of who I had seen, and she confirmed it was her. Going on to the next story, my father and I are not really close due to a lot of reasons, which I brush on in my latest write into your other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online. When his mother was alive growing up, I was scared of that woman. To me, everything was just off about her, and all I wanted was to just stay far, far away from her. So we never shook hands consciously. I went to her, and I shook her hand in a dream. One night, in my dream, my dad was in a casket. They were holding his funeral in our house. I was crying so hard. This happened twice. After the second one, a week or so later, my mother announced that my grandmother, on my dad's side, passed away. I was shocked, but not sad. Since outside, we weren't that close. Heaven knows, about 15 years old. I was going through a lot during that period. Extreme stress from dealing with my dad, kicking us out, bullying at school, witchcraft, and a curse being placed on us. My world was just upside down. I was the only girl. Just felt like my mom didn't understand how I felt at the time, so I relied on my anger to be where I am today. Why was I crying? I still don't really understand why I would feel so sad seeing my dad in the casket when I know everything I was going through was their fault. It bugs me to this day. Let's talk about the crying a little bit and try and make some sense of that. When you're crying in a dream, a lot of times it has to do with just the release and your subconscious trying to release emotions that are basically stemming from a waking situation, which would very likely be the frustration that you had been dealing with your family members. And not so much the events of the actual dream itself, not so much the death or anything like that that occurred in the dream. It's oftentimes our minds or our body's way of trying to find a balance and to let out those fears and those frustrations, not necessarily meaning you're at peace with it, but trying to, for your own good, be the best version of you that you can be and get through some of that stuff. Okay. These are things that sometimes you may ignore, deny, repress. And when you're going through tough times with people that you're close to or traditionally should be close to, but they're not offering the security that you seek or they should be offering in the dream state, those defense mechanisms that we have are not necessarily as on guard as they would be in our conscious state. And then they basically let those feelings out. Those repressed feelings out that you have during the day in the dream to try and find some balance. So that may explain why you were crying when, you know, your guard and your reasoning in real life prevents you from going there. But in the dream state, that guard isn't so much there. It's also, you know, somewhat, you know, probably, I would say a bit of longing for what you view, what should be, what could have been. What could be, but is obviously not there in real life, and that can be a sad thing to come to the realization of. Even if you have realized it for a long time, just sometimes revisiting those things, especially when it comes to family, can be a very tough thing to endure and make sense of, because a lot of times it doesn't make sense. Thank you for writing in and sharing those experiences with us. Well, that's going to do it. That wraps up today's episode of Dream Meanings. Thank you guys for writing in. Thanks for sharing your dreams with us. Please press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to the show on. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, trying to think of them, iHeart, whatever it is. Subscribe keeps us on the air and helps other folks find us. Please do share those dreams with us. We'd love to hear them and get another show to you very, very soon. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Dream Meanings.